نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. All you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. Before we begin, Harun, is the speakers on in the sisters' lounge? Yeah, the sister said they bought speakers and they haven't heard them yet. Barakallahu feek. I hope the brothers, inshallah, excuse me for my class today. I just feel a little, I don't know. And it's hard to even say it. The brother's sitting right there now. When the babies cry, it like messes me up so much. It'd be hard to get myself back together for some reason if they write up on me. And you would think with all the children I got, I'd be used to it. But I'm not. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So I hope the brothers, inshallah, overlook me for whatever. Lacking explanation today, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says, Kitab al-Zakat, the book of Zakat. And then he says, تجب في الأموال التي ستأتي إذا كان المالك مكلفا. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that the zakat is compulsory on the wealth that we will explain shortly, on the one who is responsible or of age of puberty, and he's in charge of the wealth. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, after that he says, and this is from his own explanation of this statement, and usually we don't bring the whole explanation of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah as we're trying to be brief, but he has some statements that are very important and we wanted to make sure that we mention them, inshallah ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, zakat is from the fariḍa of the fara'id of this deen, or from the affairs that are compulsory in this deen, and is from one of the pillars of this deen. However, it is not compulsory except on the one who Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made zakat compulsory on, from the wealth, and those who Allah have and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to the people. And in that we see the explanation of the likes of the statement of Allah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, from Surah At-Tawbah verse 103, and also from Surah Al-Baqarah verse 43, where Allah says, and take from their wealth sadaqah, meaning the zakat. And in the other ayat, and I command them to give zakat. Just as it has been explained to the people, the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and I command you to make salat, by that which Allah has made compulsory in this deen, from the salat that has been explained by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam for the people. And many of the people of knowledge, they have stretched out in making zakat compulsory on wealth that Allah has not made zakat compulsory on. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam explicitly mentions some of the wealth that there is no obligation of zakat on. Like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Laysa 'ala al-mar'i fi 'abdihi wa la farasihi sadaqa." And this is from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "There is no zakat or sadaqa." And the word sadaqa sometimes means zakat, and sometimes it means just the general voluntary sadaqa. Here it means the zakat. Where the Prophet ﷺ is saying, a person has no obligation of zakat on him for his servants, his slaves, or his riding animals. Or like we have today in the cars. And this is an explicit statement from the Prophet ﷺ that there's no zakat on this wealth. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues as he says, and the Sahaba had wealth, and they had fine stones, like diamonds and rubies and stuff like that. And they had businesses, and they had crops. And there's no commandment from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam for them to pay zakat and that wealth. And he didn't tax them on that wealth. And it was not, and if it was an obligation on them, then he would have explained to them that which has been revealed to them from the ayat of the Quran. And we have mentioned in this shortened text of a fiqh book that which is compulsory on the people of zakat, and we motion to some of the things or some of the wealth that there is no zakat in it, of which some of the scholars of Islam or the people of knowledge make an obligation on this wealth, and there's no obligation, as you will soon see inshallah ta'ala. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he says, as far as my statement that zakat is not compulsory except on those who are of age of puberty, then some of the people, when they hear this statement, their minds might be quick to reject this statement when they hear it. However, if they're honest and just and fair, and they stop where the truth is, then they will know that this statement is the truth. And the explanation that zakat is one of the pillars of Islam and one of the basic obligations and fundamentals of this deen, and there's no difference of an opinion that any of the other four pillars of this deen, it is not compulsory on anyone who has not reached the late age of puberty. And likewise, zakat. And if it's not the case, then someone has to bring evidence to show why. And there's no evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah to be used as evidence. And that which has been reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he commanded people to give zakat, that he commanded the people to make trade and do business with the wealth of the orphans, so that the zakat would not eat up the wealth of the orphans, then this has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. As far as that which has been narrated on some of the Sahaba, then this is no evidence. Let me just stop here for a minute, inshallah, make a little note. Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says, there's no evidence and that which has been narrated on the Sahaba. And oftentimes we hear the statement to follow the Quran and the Sunnah on the understanding and the practical application of the Sahaba. And some of the brothers in the past, they have thought that there was some contradiction between the two statements. And there's not. The Sahaba are the ones who brought the Quran and the Sunnah with the correct understanding and how to practice it in your lives. However, if the Sahaba bring something that's from themselves as a position or an opinion or a viewpoint, then it's not considered evidence in Islam. Evidence is the Quran and the Sunnah. How you understand the evidence is from the understanding of the Sahaba. But the statements of the Sahaba or the viewpoints or the positions or the opinions of the Sahaba in itself is not evidence, as there's no evidence except that which has come from our Lord or from His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Does everybody see the difference between the two points? No. Let's look at an example, inshallah, to make it a little closer to us. There's no ayat or hadith to tell the people to start the rows from the middle and go to the right. There's nothing that does that. Some of the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah said to Islam, they say, start the row in the middle and go to the right. That's the best advice that someone could give us. But that's not evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah to establish an obligation on someone. And when you talk about an obligation, and this is the serious obligation of which people have left Islam for. Somebody saying, he going to take your money. And you don't want to hear no advice or recommendations when somebody's talking about he's going to take your money, and if you don't give it up, they're going to kill you. As Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu fought what they called the Murtadeen because they didn't want to give the zakat. The zakat is serious when Islam is practiced and established. You don't have the choice to say, alright, I'll give it, alright, I won't. Nah, when the Muslims come to get your wealth, you're going to give it. So when somebody's taking somebody's wealth like this, then it has to be an obligation and not just the issue of advice or recommendation or an opinion or a viewpoint, but it has to be that which is established in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I just wanted to make that point clear. Sometimes the people might think that we contradict ourselves. On the one hand, we follow the Sahaba, and on the other hand, you don't follow the Sahaba. Naam. On the one hand, we follow them in their understanding and in the application of the Quran and the Sunnah. And then on the other hand, no one makes compulsory or haram in this deen other than what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam made fard or compulsory or haram or prohibited in this deen. That's the right of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and who He has given permission to of His Messengers alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes. No, you're an orphan so long as you're orphan. There's no such thing. It's not an age that you don't become an orphan. There's a verse in the Quran. Let me look at it. Yeah, let me use that. Jazakallah khair. Yeah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't I find you as an orphan and we gave you shelter? Referring to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An orphan is just someone who doesn't have a parent. No. From the children. And there's no verdict that's stemming from the issue of an orphan or not. We're going to explain the issue of zakat. It's not around the issue of an orphan. This was just on the hadith of the orphan when showing when the orphan is below the age of puberty, and you're responsible for his wealth. I was just reciting from the Surah to Nisa just the other day in the Salah, where Allah says, "فَإِنْ أَنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَدَفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ." And when you find that the orphan is able to handle his own money, give his money to him. So when they are able to, and some people at 10 or 11 or whatever, is wise enough not to waste their money, then you give it to them. But this was just something that wasn't authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, that the people try to use as evidence to say zakat is compulsory on the people even before reaching the age of puberty. Now, Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, also it's been mentioned that which has been narrated on in the Sunan al-Kubra from Imam al-Bayhaqi on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that whoever is in charge of the wealth of an orphan and years go by, then he could either give the wealth to the orphan and inform him of the zakat that he owed on that wealth, or he could pay the zakat for the orphan himself. And other texts like this, of which, like of the likes of which has been narrated on Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Imam al-Bayhaqi says that Imam al-Shafi'i, in one of the debates that went between him and someone who opposes his position, he answered with his statement pertaining to this narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He says that people think that this has been authentically reported on Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and it has not been authentically reported on him for two reasons. The first reason is that there it is munqati', or there's a break in the chain. And the other reason is that the one who is narrating the hadith is not a hafiz. And these are two points that will show that it's not authentic. Imam al-Bayhaqi goes on to explain the statement of Imam al-Shafi rahimullah, as he says, the reason that the chain is broken is that Mujahid narrates on Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and Mujahid never met Abdullah bin Mas'ud. And the one who is narrating that's not a hafiz, then he is Layth ibn Abi Salim, and the people of hadith have said that he is da'if. So for this reason, the text has not been authentically reported on him. At any rate, Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues as he says, and if someone says, indeed the statement of giving zakat, or the commandment to give the zakat, is generally made to all of the people, as Allah says, خُدْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, take from their wealth sadaqah. And there's no distinction between the old and the young, or the ones responsible, or the ones not responsible. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, and I'm trying to summarize here, he says that if this was the case, that you're going to view zakat like that, then you would have to view everything else like that. Meaning you would have to view the shahadatain, that the baby who is 1 year old or 6 months old, you have to make them take their shahada. They don't even know how to talk yet. You have to make them make the salat at 6 months and 7 months old. They have to fast the month of Ramadan, 6 months old. Nah. If you're saying that these general texts apply to everyone, then just as you say zakat applies, then so do the other things that have the general text, wa aqimu salat, and I command you to establish the salat. And no one says this, and this is an invalid or a baseless argument, and what is ever based on a baseless argument is baseless itself. He says, rather, what shows that a little child does not have to pay zakat on his wealth is the statement of Allah that comes after, and take from some of their wealth, sadaqah. Afterwards, Allah says, تُطَهِرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, to purify them and to cleanse them of their sins by that zakat. And this is clear that the purifying of the sins and what have you is not for the little children or those who are mentally insane because the pen has been lifted on them. So in general, we can say that the wealth of the servants of Allah is haram on anyone to take them except with their liking from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. I know we had just read one of those texts in Salatul Maghrib. Allah says, "O you believe, don't take your wealth unjustly from one another except that there's mutual agreement between you two." Like if somebody asks you $5, you say okay. As opposed to somebody say, "I want $5, dig in your pocket and take it out." Naam. So this is one of the examples of the text that showed that the wealth is haram. And the Shaykh, he says, the only time the wealth can be taken from the people is in the case of zakat, or the diyah, or the arsh, or the shufa'a. And we might cover some of these definitions of these things, of when the wealth is being taken from the people, inshallah, in the latter chapters in fiqh, inshallah ta'ala. So whoever thinks that it's permissible to take the wealth of some of the servants of Allah, especially the one who the pen has been lifted upon, then he has to bring his evidence. And it's compulsory on the one who is just to stop at the evidence and not to go any farther than that. And Allah Ta'ala hasn't made an obligation on the guardians of the orphans or the insane to give zakat from their wealth. Nor did Allah command them, nor is it permissible to do that. Rather, it's been narrated that we should stay away from the wealth of the orphans and not to touch it. With the likes of the statement of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, إن الذين يأكلون أموال اليتامى ظلما إنما يأكلون في بطونهم نارا وسيصلون سيرا. Indeed, those who take the wealth of the orphans unjustly, they only take fire into their bellies, and they will soon enter the blazing flame. For the likes of the statement of Allah, ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن. And don't touch the wealth of the orphan except in the best manner. If somebody say he's paying zakat on the orphan's wealth, what ayat or hadith does he have to say pay zakat on the orphan's wealth? And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, after his introduction, he says, إِنَّمَا تَجِبُ مِنْهُ فِي النَّعَمِ وَهِيَ الْإِبِلُ وَالْبَقَرُ وَالْغَنَمُ. He says, the only things that are compulsory to pay the zakat on are the na'am. And the na'am are camels, cows, and sheep. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he goes on to explain the zakat after that, as he says, إذا بلغت الإبل خمسا ففيها شاء ثم في كل خمس شاء فإذا بلغت خمسا وعشرين ففيها ابنة المخاض أو ابن لبون وفي ست وثلاثين ابنة لبون وفي ست وأربعين حقة وفي إحدى وستين جذعة وفي ست وسبعين بنت لبون وفي إحدى وتسعين حقتان إلى مئة وعشرين فإذا زادت ففي كل أربعين ابنة لبون وفي كل خمسين حقة. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, when the camels reach five camels, then you have to give one sheep in zakat. And for every five camels, a sheep in zakat, meaning more than five. And if there are 25 sheep, then you have to give a ibnatu makhab. A ibnatu makhab, this is a female camel that is completed 1 year old and is less than 2 years old. meaning in the second year. Like if it had a birthday one time, and then it's past that first birthday, but before the second birthday. That's what you have to give if you have 25 camels. All right. Or Ibn Labun, and this is a male camel that has completed 2 years, but it didn't reach the third birthday yet. And if the camels are 36, then you have to give an Ibnatu Labun. And an Ibnatu Labun, this is a female camel that has completed 2 years, but it didn't reach the third birthday yet. And if there's 46 camels, then you have to give a Hiqqa. And a Hiqqa, this is a female camel that's 3 years and before the fourth birthday. And if it's 61 camels that you have to give a Jada'a. And a Jada'a is a female camel that has completed 4 years, but it didn't reach the fifth birthday yet. And if you have 96 camels, then you have to give two Ibnatu Labun. And we said that the Ibnatu Labun, this is the female camel that have reached the age of 2 years, but didn't reach its third birthday yet. And if you have 96. Excuse me, I made a mistake. That's 76. You have to give the Ibnatu Labun. Then if it's 91, then you give two Hiqqa. We said the Hiqqa, that's the female camel that has completed 3 years, but the fourth birthday didn't come. And that's all the way to 120 camels. And whatever is more than 120 camels, then for every 40, you give an Ibnatu Labun, and for every 50, you give a Hiqqa. That sound a little confusing? Alhamdulillah. I remember, before we just go over this a little more, I remember in school when we were studying this, myself and everybody said, we from the city. We don't know cows, camels, sheep, or nothing. What we learning this for? And everybody was saying, not only are we from the cities, if we go back, we going back to the cities. So why are we covering all of this stuff that doesn't apply to us? So because this is that which is mentioned in the statement of Allah, and pay the zakat. This is your deen, and you've been commanded to learn your deen. And even if it doesn't apply to you, then it does apply to somebody, and the one who hears, pass on to the one who didn't, or the one who is present, pass on to the one who is absent. At any rate, the Shaykh, he made a chart for us. I'll just read the chart. It makes it a little easier. He says, if you have from one to four camels, if you own one to four camels, you don't pay zakat on your camels. If you own from five to nine camels, then you give a sheep, one sheep. If you own from 10 to 14 camels, then you give two sheep. If you own from 15 to 19 camels, you give three sheep. If you own from 20 to 24 camels, you give four sheep. If you own 25 to 35 camels, then you give the bent mahab. Mm-hmm. Then if you own 36 to 45, you give one bent laboon. Then if you own 46 camels to 60 camels, you give one hiqqa. Mm-hmm. Then if you own 61 to 75, you give one jada'a. Then if you own 76 to 90, you give two ابنة لبون. Then if you own 91 to 120 camels, you give 2 حقص. And if you own 121 to 129, then you give 3 ابنة لبون. Then if you own 130 to 139, you have 130 to 139, then you give 1 حقه and 2 ابنة لبون. And if you have 140 camels to 149, then you give 2 حقه and you give 1 ابنة لبون. And if you have 150 camels to 159, then you give 3 حقه. And if you have 160 to 169, then you give 4 ابنة لبون. And if you have 170 to 179, then you give 3 ابنة لبون and 1 حقه. And if you have 180 to 189, then you give 2 ابنة لبون and 2 حقه. And if you have 190 to 199, then you give 3 حقه and 1 ابنة لبون. And if you have 200 camels to 209, then you give 4 حقه or 5 ابنة لبون. And all of this has been based on the hadith of Al-Bukhari, on the authority of Anas رضي الله عنه قال أن أبا بكر رضي الله عنه كتب له هذا الكتاب لما وجهه إلى البحرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذه فريضة الصدقة التي فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المسلمين والتي أمر الله بها رسوله، فمن سئلها من المسلمين على وجهها فليعطيها، ومن سئل فوقها فلا يعطي، في 24 من الإبل فما دونها من الغنم من كل 5 شاء، فإذا بلغت 25 إلى 35 ففيها بنت مخاض أنثى، فإذا بلغت 36 إلى 45 ففيها بنت لبون أنثى، فإذا بلغت 46 إلى 60 ففيها حقة تروقة الجمل، فإذا بلغت 61 إلى 75 ففيها جذعة، فإذا بلغت يعني 76 إلى 90 ففيها بنت لبون، فإذا بلغت 91 إلى 20 و100 ففيها حقتان تروقة الجمل، فما فإذا زادت على 20 و100 ففي كل 40 بنت لبون وفي كل 50 حقة، ومن لم يكن معه إلا 4 من الإبل فليس فيها صدقة إلا أن يشاء ربها، فإذا بلغت 5 من الإبل ففيها شاء. And there's some more to that hadith, and we'll quote it on the next section, inshallah ta'ala. When Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he wrote a letter to me when I was going to Al-Bahrain. And that's on the eastern part of the Arabian Peninsula. The letter said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the compulsory sadaqah that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made as an obligation on the Muslims. And this is the zakat that Allah commanded His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. So whoever is asked from amongst the Muslims to give in what I'm about to explain, then he must give it. And whoever is asked for more than what I'm about to explain, then he shouldn't give it. On every 24 camels, or less than that, for every 5 sheep, there is, every 5 camels, there is 1 sheep he has to give. And if the camels reach 25, to 35, then he has to give a bintu makhab. And if it reaches 36 to 45, then he has to give a bintu labun unta. And if it reaches 46 to 60, then he has to give a hiqqa. And if it reaches 61 to 75, then he has to give a jaz'a. And if it reaches 76 to 90, then he has to give two ibnatu labun. And if it reaches 91 to 120, then he has to give two hiqqa. And if it goes more than 120, then on every 40 camels, he has to give one ibnatu labun. And on every 50, a hiqqa. And if he doesn't have four camels, then he doesn't have to give any zakat except if he wants to voluntarily give it up. And for every five camels, he has to give one sheep. So this is the beginning section of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, and the zakat that is compulsory on the camels for whoever owns them. The brother, one of the brothers, they were asking me, and maybe somebody knows, all of these names that they have for these animals, we don't know them in English. That's why I was saying that that one is the Bintul Mukhad. The Bintul Mukhad is the female camel that's past the first birthday but hasn't reached the second birthday, as a description of it. Does anybody know the English words for them animals? Because really almost the same thing kind of comes to when you deal with sheep and cows. I only know you call a baby cow a calf, and then a cow. And then some people said a male cow is a bull, or some other stuff around that. At any rate, I don't know all the time the names of these animals, and maybe if somebody knows them, then they can give us an English word that we can use. But instead of an English word, we just give the definition so that we understand what is intended by these hadith. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Next week, inshallah, we'll do the cows and the sheep, inshallah. Tabarak wa ta'ala. If there's any questions, we'll take it after the van, inshallah. I don't know if there are any questions on the zakat. It's one of the boring topics, huh? At any rate, we'll cover the rest of the zakat of the animals, and then the zakat of the wealth that you give, and the zakat of the certain crops that you have to give the zakat on, and then the zakat of fitr, inshallah ta'ala, as Imam al-Shawkani goes through it in brief. Inshallah, we'll just go through it in brief too. Inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. Myself and one of the brothers were talking, just the other day, and was laughing over the issue of the zakat, and that a lot of the students of knowledge run from this chapter of zakat. And I remember that I was trying to run, and the teacher made me learn it. I just said, man, Nick said, I'm failing this course, right? Because I ain't learning no zakat. And the teacher, on every question through the whole semester, he asked me first. He never asked a question unless he asked me. And everybody was saying, what's up, we worrying about him because he's American. The American's better than everybody else. He used to just say, every time he asked a question, he said, y'all understand it? If nobody don't say nothing, he said, repeat what I said, Amriki. The American boy in the back, say what I just said then, if you understand it. On every point he used to say the hadith again. How many is that? What does that mean? All the way through the whole thing. And even I didn't want to, you know, he kind of forced me to learn it. He was an older sheikh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show his mercy on him. And he was one of the imams of the masjid that just happened to be near my area where I live. And you know, you feel a little shy and just saying, Sheikh, really, I ain't working with this one. But alhamdulillah, and some of this, it's a benefit. And this is what we say when we say that we really want Islam to be practiced, do we? And if we really want Islam to be practiced, then zakat of the animals and stuff are going to be there. And especially for us in New Jersey, because this is the Garden State. Nah. And they have cattle and stuff here right in New Jersey, and sheep and what have you, and crops and stuff like that. And the people would have to pay zakat. Or like the people they dream about taking over the White House and stuff like that, owning America and whatever. And you have cattle in America and what have you, and all of that stuff has to have zakat on it. Now, the way that it's been described in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going to be important that some of the people know it, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. If the people don't remember it, like when you're a student, they make you memorize everything like that. If you don't remember it, you just ask somebody, I got 19 camels, how much I pay zakat on it. Then he tells you how many you pay, and you pay it, and alhamdulillah. Even when it comes to the chapter of something that we might be able to do, nobody's going to do it anyway. One of the imams of one of the masjids, he informed me that he asked the people, he said, do you want to practice the five pillars of Islam? They said, yes. He said, even zakat? They said, yes. He said, let's practice it. I want everybody in this room to fill out how much money he earns every year, every dime, whether it's from his job or vending on the side or whatever. Every dime you make, I want you to bring it here to the masjid and let us know. And likewise, every dime you spend, we want to know that too, bring it to the masjid. Whether you buy clothing, food, rent, whatever. Don't touch no money or spend no money except you let us know. So at the end of the year, we going to come and tell you how much you got to pay. Everybody said, nah, we ain't read no Islam. If that's Islam, if that's the Islam we believed in, we ain't practicing it. Nah. And alhamdulillah, for lack that you can say alhamdulillah, you don't have to practice zakat. But if you were living during the time of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and you would have been like the people who were to that imam. We ain't with that. Abu Bakr would have just had to deal with you, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he dealt with the people. And really this issue of our money, as we've made it a secret issue, if we really are to practice Islam, that money that we make is not a secret issue. That money is the wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusts you with. And the Muslims have a right to know how much money you make and how much money you spend and how much money of your money is theirs. The Muslims have a right to that. And whoever don't think they have a right to that, then they have a right to have their lives taken from them, as Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. I just wanted to remind myself and the brothers of this story so that we can see how serious the issue of just the five pillars of Islam is. And that we know that we have to take Islam seriously, even when it comes to our money that we love so much, that there's a portion of it for al-Islam. And that portion we don't have a right to, and the Muslims have a right to take that portion of our wealth. And nobody's coming to take it, so we should make sure that we watch our money, how much money we make, and how much money we spend, and how much money we owe to the Muslims, so we can give it out. And I forgot that was the last chapter that the Shaykh has, so that we can give it out to who gets the zakat. And that's another chapter. As before, somebody came, we were in a need of money for the school, and somebody came with a lot of money of zakat. And a brother said, alhamdulillah, we could take care of the bills at the school. I said, no, not with that money. Everybody looking at me like, you crazy. How in the world are we going to have bills and a stack of money, and we ain't going to use this money to pay that bill? That's because that zakat money can't be spent the way you like to. But that zakat money must be spent the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that that money be spent. You can't use the money for anything. And this is why we like the brothers when they give their wealth. If someone is giving a zakat, then we keep that money separate from the other money that we take. Because that money from the zakat, if we take it from the Muslims, then we have to make sure that it's only given out the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran. As opposed to if the Muslims give us the masjid just general charity, then we just have to make sure that we use it to benefit the Muslims, whether it's for the masjid or the school or whatever we like, then we have the option to do that. But this issue of zakat is real serious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid out some of the verdicts in the Quran, and the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the details of it in the sunnah. And it's on at least some of us to learn what we could of the zakat, and it's on the rest of us to make sure that we pay the zakat. And really the only way you can know how to pay is when somebody tells you how much money he made that year and how much money he spent that year. Then you can determine his zakat for him. But if he's not fair and he don't give you all of the records, then you really can't determine for somebody how much zakat he paid. And a lot of the Muslims, when you explain how to pay the zakat, a lot of them seem really confused on exactly how and when you pay the zakat. And the people are confused, and sometimes the people are around numbers and what have you. Then what they have to do is just entrust affairs with the Muslims. I made this amount this year, and I spent that amount this year. And then the Muslims could tell you exactly how much zakat you have on your wealth, if you have any zakat on your wealth. And Allah knows best. No. If somebody gave, you know, a little more to be certain of it, we hope inshallah ta'ala, Allah knows best, that this might be sufficient. As we saw in the end of the hadith, whoever has four camels, it's not compulsory on him to give zakat. But if he gave some zakat, then it becomes the zakat, and he deals with it like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah knows best. Yes. Yes. نعم. If somebody didn't pay zakat in the past, is that zakat old or not? I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Maybe we can get an answer to that. If somebody is unsure and he's just confused, if he brings in everything that he made from, he has to choose a day of the year first to make his fiscal year, whether they do September the 1st or Ramadan the 1st or whatever. Let somebody choose. And then he watch how much money he made from Ramadan to Ramadan. And then he brings in all of his records and say, I made that amount. So he might don't even figure out how much it is. I made $33,050 at this job. I made $16,000 whatever at that job. And doing some vending on the weekends, I made $2,000 whatever like that. They'll add it all up for you. And then you say, I spent this much on rent, that much on food, this much, that much on donations to the sadaqah and the masjid and this and that. All your, how you spent your money that year. Then they can look at what's the difference between that. And then they can tell you from that how much you owe in zakat, if you owe anything in zakat. No. Now, that's the explanation of the zakat. I'm trying to make another easier way that for the masses of the people, you know, if you just tell us how much, we know how much was saved. You tell us you made, let's make easy numbers. You say you made $30,000 a year. You spent $25,000 that year. You owe that $5,000. I'm just trying to make it simple and it's going to be a little more detailed. On that $5,000 that you have to pay zakat of, 2.5% is going to equal this, and you have to pay that. But if the people bring in their stuff, then it could be figured out for them, inshallah. No. But that's when the people, they bring in all their records. Kind of like the state or whatever. They know how much to tax you for. Same thing, the Muslims will know how much to tax you for, but they got to know how much you're bringing in, just like the state. They have to know how much money you bring in. But, like the brothers used to say, it's okay for the kafir to know how much money we make to make sure he get his cut, but it's not okay for the Muslims to know how much we make so that they can get their cut. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Na'am. Wa alaykum salaam wa rahmatullah. Does the masjid here have a zakat fund? Yes. The masjid has a zakat fund. And also, the money of that zakat fund only goes out to the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us permission to give it to. Except where we make a mistake, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Nah. So if the people want to give it to the masjid can handle that. And if the people know how to do it themselves and they do it for themselves, the ulama, they say that this is all okay nowadays. Nowadays, when you don't have somebody coming around to collect the money every year, like they come to the masjid, stand at the door, everybody give their zakat for this year. Yo, how much money you made? You owe this, you owe that. Collect up, and then they bring it back. This is the real stuff. Because the why don't we do everybody to the masjid?
Mm-hmm. Because this is Islam, we can't make up what we want. On certain things, Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam made it. Bam. Ramadan is Ramadan. You can't just fast any day out, any 30 days out of the month that you want to, but it has to be Ramadan. And sometimes we have leniency, like in this issue, and you have it. Allah knows best, unless it was the issue of the Khalifa, he's determining that he's going to collect everybody's money such and such a time. Then he could collect that money at such and such a time. But it's kind of hard to get that uniformity, as we were saying before, with one of the Imams, he tried it. And everybody loves the Imam. That was Imam Siraj Wahaj in New York. And everybody loves Siraj. The people who like him and dislike him love him. And wasn't nobody giving no money up like that when he asked, you know, to look in their money. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I was just laughing at a point that, you know, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge of this deen. And you see how the people who don't understand Islam make fools of themselves, literally. The Baytul Mal of the Muslims, when zakat is given like this, you can imagine a Baytul Mal. How are you going to imagine a Baytul Mal if the Muslims are not giving their money like that? No. You don't have nobody going around collecting the money from the Muslims. How are you going to have a Baytul Mal? And this is the same thing as some of the people of knowledge, they say, if there's no jihad and no collection of the war booty, how is the Baytul Mal going to have money? How is the Baytul Mal going to have money? They think you could just buy a little bank on the corner or something and say, we are Baytul Mal, and the people going to give you money, and you just really just make a fool of yourself in Islam, because we don't understand the seriousness of this deen. We just try to do things and make it equivalent to what we found already in America. And Islam is from what is found in the Kitab and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nah. I didn't even really want to get all into that. People always say you're trying to attack somebody or something. Alright, when they take the money to put in the Baytul Mal, that's people's zakat money, then they're going to give non-interest loans from the Baytul Mal. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And they don't even know the Baytul Mal money has to be given to the people who the money has to be given to. And we did a couple of talks on that issue, that Islam encourages us to give more than loan. Islam encourages us to give more than loan. And even when we loan, we've been encouraged to overlook if the person can't pay back the loan. Or if the person can pay the loan, then to pay back more than he took. That's not stipulated, but it says a good business practice that if somebody lends you something, to give back more than he lent you, as we covered before in some of the classes. No. That's exactly what it is, as the brother is saying, that the people at the Baytul Mal is not viewed that as what we're going to put in it, but we look at it as what we're going to get out of it. And just like the credit union of the Kufar, where they encourage the people to live above their means, you could own your own house. You could drive your dream car. Yeah, subhanAllah, everybody is supposed to be striving for Jannah. And whatever he can afford, or whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him in this world, if Allah bless him with a dream car, he buys it. But he's not selling the hereafter for the price of what he can get in this world, as many of the people do. And really all of these credit unions, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, is a lot of riba and a lot of other stuff. And I can tell you, in one of the credit unions, and we have witnesses in the whole nine yards. When we were at Lincoln Street, we had some witnesses, and the brother from the credit union, he came, and we signed the contract and everything, and he promised us $500,000 interest-free to buy Masjid Ahl Sunnah. So, astaghfirullah, I was giggling through the whole thing. And the brother says, astaghfirullah, akhi, you're supposed to be the imam. We're going to purchase Masjid Ahl Sunnah from this wealth, interest-free. You here laughing at the brother. I told him, really, you know why? Because it's a joke. I'm going to tell you how Masjid Ahl Sunnah is going to be bought. The little bit of money we got in our pocket, if we keep giving it long enough, it'll be a lot of money, and we'll buy the masjid. And now the brother, he always laughs at me every time I see him in the masjid. He just laughs and say, SubhanAllah. And we never saw no $500,000. Because everybody knows the bank, or credit union, or whatever you want to call it, they're in the business of making money, not giving away money. Even the banks, they have the approach like, you know, giving away money to make it sound good. They ain't giving them. Banks are not in the... Like, only children think that banks are in the business of giving away money. Like your children might say, you don't have no money, Abby, just go to the bank and get some. Like you did the other day. But the bank's not just giving away money like that. Like the people think that the banks are just giving the money away. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And this is only advice for myself and the believers that we should be aware of these credit union things. We should be aware of it, and there's a lot of fishy business in it. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with, say alhamdulillah. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give you, say alhamdulillah. Because it's already been written for you, what you're going to get, ya rahmatullah. You're going to get, and what you're not going to get, you're not going to get. And what's going to come to you is not going to pass you by, and what's going to pass you by is not going to come to you. But it's on us to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to practice Islam as we find it in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.